are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. It is Wednesday, March 13, 2019, as we record this. This is the start of the 2019 league year, and Happy New Year. It's not really a Happy New Year, you know, given the news of the Giants trading Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday. You know, the trade became official at 4:01 today. And on the line to help me break it all down is my good friend Chris Bisiano of Giant Insider. Chris, a very weird 48 hours, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, much happening, Pat? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, is anything coming on, you know, besides, you know, this trade stuff, the usual stuff, you know?
Yeah. Listen, Pat, surprised, not shocked. Obviously, there was a lot of rumor buzz about Odell, and it came through. They made the move yesterday, trading a unbelievable talent. But obviously, a lot of things were going on that the organization felt they had to move on to get another number one, getting a three, and a very talented safety, Pat. So it was surprising, Patty. I personally did not want to see Odell get traded, but he did. Gettleman feels he has to build up the assets. Of course, there's so many holes to fill on this squad and build up some cap for the future. And that's what he did, Pat. I don't know how you feel about it, Patty. I was surprised. I didn't want to see Odell go, but it is what it is now.
Yeah, you know, I said initially when Odell signed his new contract that I would be shocked if he finished it with the Giants. And, you know, I honestly thought, Chris, that this year he would be okay. You know, they would keep him. I looked at the cap. I realized the cap was, you know, they were choked at the top of the cap. And I even proposed, you know, maybe even lightening that load a little bit. I did not anticipate that they would move on from Odell this soon. I figured something had to have happened that changed their mind after they went all in on the guy last year and signed him. So now, as a result of that decision to move on from Odell, the Giants have right now over $33 million in dead money, all right, against the $188.2 million cap. I think that's about, I want to say, I didn't do the math on that one. I shouldn't right. guess on that. But that's that's a large chunk, and right now that leads the NFL. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even started, you know, roster building, the real roster building, you know, training camp cuts and all that other stuff where you usually see all your dead money. So just a really surprising with the timing. I'm not so much as surprised that they moved on from him because, like I said, I did anticipate that they would move on. I just didn't think it would be this year.
No, I don't think any, you know. But, hey, Patty, if I had to ask you, what do you think happened that they traded this kid? Was it a buildup, Patty, through the year? You think specific incident? What do you think? I have an idea. I mean, you have an idea. What do you think happened, Patty?
Well, I know Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback on Sports Illustrated had an article out today that kind of went over what happened. But, you know, I think I go back to what Dave Gettleman said at the Combine. He said, you know, the job of a general manager is to eliminate distractions. And I think back to that ESPN interview that Odell did last year. And I remember, and you were there, Chris, you remember this as well. What did the media do for at least two straight weeks once that story broke? What was the topic in the locker room?
Yeah, everything was about Odell. Did he want to stay? Was he happy? Yep. Eli?
It was about Odell. I don't recall very many, if any, questions being asked about football. And I understand it. I'm not knocking the media because, you know, look, we all have jobs to do. I get that. But that created a distraction, and it was a major distraction. It was one that took the focus away from football. And if you're Shermer and you're Gettleman and you're trying to rebuild the locker room culture, you don't want that kind of, you know, distraction it going on. You want it to be about football. You want everybody focused, and you want everybody, you know, in the right frame of mind. And for the players who had to answer for all that, that just wasn't fair.
Right, especially when you're trying to change the culture of the locker room, right, from the previous year. And listen, Pat, I agree. That ESPN interview early in the year after he received the huge contract did not go over well. Didn't go over well with Eli. You remember, Patty, back when it happened, that day Eli didn't come out to his locker to face the media?
Yep, I remember.
Which is, folks, unheard of with Eli.
Yep.
No matter what happens, Eli is always out there answering questions. I remember that day after it happened, Patty. I mean, you looked at each other like, we were like, where's Eli? Remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
And he obviously was not happy with what Odell said. Of course, Eli is such a class act. He's never going to say that. But the writing was on the wall. He wasn't happy with what Odell said. Now, to say some of the things he said, I think Odell is one of those kids that says things and it comes out the wrong way a lot of the times. But it did not go over well. Okay? I think Shermer, I think Gettleman and Mara was, I know Shermer was pissed off about that interview. Fuming. Didn't go over well with John Mara either. Shermer kind of told Gettleman and Mara, listen, let me have this kid a year. Let's see what we could do with this kid, this and that. I like him. He works hard. Let's see if we can make this work. Now, Pat, I don't know this for a fact yet. And I can't believe it with a competitor like Odell, but what I'm getting at is this. A lot of buzz going around about whether or not Odell kind of threw in the towel the last four games with that injury.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's what happened until what I perceive to be a reliable person tells me, hey, Chris, that's what that kid wasn't really hurt. Then I will believe it. But right now, the way we know the competitor Odell is, I'm not going to really believe that. But that is going around that Odell really wasn't hurt that bad not to play. If you remember, Patty, when that period, when Shermer was asked, a couple times he was like, yeah, he should be good to go. Do you remember that, Patty?
I remember.
And he missed four games. Okay? That might have been the final straw if that was the case. I think Shermer at the end of the year said, I can't do it anymore. We need to change this up. If something comes along, let's go over it. Let's talk about it. Something came along yesterday. John Dorsey called Gettleman. Hey, what are we talking about here with Odell? They put a package together, and Odell's no longer a Giant.
Yep.
So that's where we are at right now, Pat. Talented kid, Patty. We all know that. To me, a great receiver. I just think it was a matter of they were kind of fed up with the stuff that goes on around the kid. And if something came along that they perceived to be an excellent package, they were going to jump on it. And they did, Pat.
Yeah. And you know, look, I get the fan outrage. And let's face it, Chris, you look at Twitter, you know, I'm surprised the system didn't break. That's how outraged a lot of people are. And I get it. Odell was a fan favorite. You know, not a bad kid. You know, let's make that perfectly clear. You know, didn't always use the best judgment in the world, but he wasn't a bad kid. He wasn't getting arrested. He wasn't doing, you know, stuff that made you say, what the heck is he thinking? You know, but look, you know, nobody lasts forever in the organization. The Giants over the years, and you know this, you've been around. I know a lot of the fans on Twitter have been around. There's also quite a number of fans who are under the age of 30 who might not remember, you know, the days of Phil Sims and Mark Bavaro and how they were unceremoniously cut and how, you know, and you wonder if Twitter had been around then, what kind of outrage would that have been? You know, when Shockey was traded, I remember that, you know, there was outrage there. Players, you know, I hate to say, and I don't want to sound cold and uncaring, but they come and they go. You only have them on your team for X number of years. If you're lucky, you'll have them for 10 plus years. But for the most part, you don't get them for that long. And, you know, I always say to people when they say, oh, that's it, I'm not rooting for the Giants anymore. I'm like, are you rooting for the player or are you rooting for the team? And people, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I root for both. And it's like, I don't know that you can necessarily, you know, you're either rooting for the colors or you're rooting for the individual. And that's fine. However you want to do it is fine. But, you know, mm-hmm. I just think, you know, a lot of people right now, their emotions are raw. And I get it. Right. I sympathize with them. But, yep. But you know, mm-hmm. it's a business. And not to sound cold hearted, but, it, you know, this time of year sucks. Mm-hmm. It's no other way to put it.
Yeah, it's a business, Pat. No question about it. And I understand people's outrage. Patty, I really do. I mean, the kid is phenomenal, and people didn't want to see him go. I understand that, you know. I didn't want to see him go, Patty. I don't think you did either, right?
No, not at all.
Right. But people need to realize that you see stuff on Twitter that Gettleman has no idea. He's never done anything in his career. He's a moron, doesn't know what he's doing. Folks, he was the director of player personnel from 1999 to 2011 in this organization.
Yeah.
He was part of the Super Bowl teams. Okay? Mm-hmm. He went to Carolina, and they went 15-1 season under his watch and lost a tough game in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fair to say, A, he's got no plan. B, he has no clue what he's doing. You might not agree with what he's doing. I'll give you that. That's understandable. But to say he has no plan and he's a moron and he's never done anything, he doesn't know how to build a team, is not correct. It's not correct. Now, his plan of moving forward, draft picks, he's going to have to draft well again, Pat.
Yes, he is.
Because if he has a miserable draft, Pat, it's going to set this franchise back big time.
Yes, agree.
If he goes quarterback and the quarterback stinks, it's going to set this franchise back big time, and he's going to get destroyed in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say he's a moron. He doesn't know what he's doing. You can't listen to a few disgruntled Carolina Panthers from the past say, see, told you. He doesn't know what he's doing. Told you this guy's a problem. Can't do that.
Yeah.
And most of all, Patty, excuse me, one last thing, Patty. Most of all, do not listen to the nonsense of, oh, that's it. No free agents will ever come here now because look what happened with Odell. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You show these players the money, they will come. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead, Pat.
They don't have a lot of money. This is why. And, you know, look, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but this is a result of what the previous regime did to this team by not drafting properly. What annoys the heck out of me, Chris.
Yeah.
If you go back to 2014. They had to do mulligans, expensive mulligans to make up for all the whiffs they had.
Right.
Okay. Now, you would think they would have learned their lesson from that because they ended up, I think, cutting a lot of those guys and eating a lot of dead money.
Yes.
What did they do in 2016? They do the exact same thing. And now they're paying for it again this year. So I'm like, you know, that's why I call it the vicious cycle. It doesn't seem to want to end. And Gettleman right now is trying to end it. Yes, the Giants have $33 million plus in dead money. Yes, it looks like they don't have a plan. They have a lot of holes on the roster. That is because the team hasn't drafted well in years.
Absolutely. It's a result of very poor drafts the last 6-7 years. Okay? And I'm not saying you have to agree with the Odell and all this. And I'm not saying, but he's building up draft picks. Okay, it's a rebuild. Okay, let's not get that. I mean, please, now it's official. It's a rebuild here. Okay? So he's piling up picks. He's going to probably go quarterback. I mean, let's see if he goes quarterback this draft. So now next year, you know, you have over $100 million in cap money mm-hmm. and a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
Different ball game.
much different. And you also have different rules that are not, you know, the rules are going to change a little bit with the salary cap management because it's the last year of the CBA. So right. You're talking a much, much different ball game, and they're going to probably have a couple of comp picks, you know, from the Collins transaction, from the Jamon right. Brown transaction. So it's really, you know, I know fans want results yesterday, mm-hmm. but you got to give Gettleman at least a couple of years here. At least, you know, I think this is a 3-year rebuild, and I really think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, they're going to probably come out of this having filled a lot of holes. And then, you know, so that when they set themselves up next year, mm-hmm. they're going to be, you know, in much, much better shape and getting yeah. that team ready for whoever the new quarterback might be.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Pat, Gettleman did the same thing. When he went to Carolina, he had to clean up a mess there
mm-hmm.
with the salary cap. He had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some players were unhappy when they got released because he felt, you know, he had to do what he had to do to get cap room and build a future and everything like that. Okay, now you could rip them apart for saying that him and Sherman thought they could win at the beginning of the year. They felt they had another year with Eli, and they felt they could have made a little bit of a run playoff wise, whatever. Right, so they miscalculated that, and they started tearing it up in the middle of the season. Right, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair. Obviously, beginning of the year they stuck with Eli. They did all that, traded for Ogletree. They brought guys like Stewart in and all that, and they felt we could get a good year out of Eli and this and that. We could bring Flowers back and this and that. Okay, miscalculated. No question about it, Pat.
Yeah.
No question about it. They realized in the middle of the year on that, all right, you know what? They'll never admit it, Patty, of course, but we all know they said, okay, we miscalculated this one. Let's start tearing this down. And we're going to have to start building. That's what they did, right? And now, I have to ask you, Patty, a lot of people have been asking me this. Now that they're doing this, Eli Manning, what does Eli stay here, Patty? Does he come back next year now, or does he get released before the 17th? Do they do that to Eli? What's your feelings with Manning, Pat?
Actually, Chris, I was just going to bring that up. Let's take a quick break, and we'll pick this part of the conversation up after this message. Welcome back, Giant fans. Here with Patricia Traina and special guest Chris Bizziano of the Giant Insider. And we're on fire tonight, man. A lot to talk about with the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. Olivier Vernon is part of that trade as well. Where we last left it off, Chris, you had asked me a question about Eli Manning. So let's pick up where we left off on that conversation before the break. Your question to me was, what do they do with Eli? Do they bring him back next year? Here's what I think. Now happens. Now, before all of this stuff went down, I remain convinced that the Giants were not going to take a quarterback at 6. Right. I didn't think they would trade up because they didn't have enough assets. And I still don't think they're going to trade up, by the way. And as I see, you know, the offensive tackles coming off the board, I'm starting to wonder if maybe they go with an offensive tackle and then they now wait till 17 to grab a pass rusher. But to answer your question, now that the Giants have a third round pick, that changes everything because they can devote the first three picks, the two number ones and the number two, to filling pass rusher, offensive tackle, and then maybe wide receiver in some order. Now, if they want, I don't know if they're going to do this or not, but if Josh Rosen becomes available, now they have the capital. If the asking price is, as rumored, a third round pick, they now have the capital to get Josh Rosen. So if you get a Josh Rosen, now you say, okay, you know what, Eli? We love you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. But we're going to move on. We're not going to extend you after this year. We need to kind of start getting our cap in order. Because, and you go with Rosen, you know, whether he be the long-term answer or stopgap until you get into the draft in 2020. But the point being is you get Eli's big number off the books after this year. You don't have to extend him, and you can begin the transition one way or another. And the added draft picks now allow them to do that if the circumstances fall into place.
So, Patty, if they do pull off a trade, like say they are interested in Rose, you think Eli stays this year still?
Yes, I do.
And Rosen plays behind him. Okay.
I do, right. And the reason why I say that is Eli is due a $5 million roster bonus on Sunday.
Yeah, in a couple of days.
Yeah, on Sunday. Right. March 17th. So if they pay out that roster bonus, I don't see them cutting him.
No.
I know there are people who want him out the pasture, but you know what? Yeah. Now you're talking, the cap savings goes down. I think if you were to do something with him now, you would get like a 6.5 million dead hit or 6.2 million dead money hit. Pay out that roster bonus, now it goes up to 11 point something. All right, which means the savings comes down. You might as well keep him. And that's what Shermer and Gettleman both said at the combine. They said, in an ideal world, Eli is here to mentor the next kid.
Right.
And that's what I think is going to happen.
The Kansas City model is what Gettleman threw
actually, they call it the Kansas City model. But if you remember, back in 2004, the Giants used the same model with Kurt Warner and Eli.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wanted it. You know, they wanted to sat down in the middle of the season when he actually had a winning record. They were 5-4 at the time when Eli took over. So I think, it makes you wonder if Gettleman was trying to tell everybody something with that when he made that Kansas City model statement, right? That they're going to go quarterback. And so, Patty, I guess you'll find out by the 17th, by Sunday, right? Do you think there's any chance, Pat, that they move on from Eli from now to the 17th?
I'd be surprised, Chris. I mean,
so would I. Yes.
Who do they have right now? They don't do anything unless they have a plan in place to replace them.
Okay? If they trade, Patty, quick scenario, I got to ask you. If they trade for Rosen tomorrow, do they release Eli?
I don't think so. I think Kyle Lauletta and Alex Tanney, they just resigned, but I think Kyle Lauletta now better make sure that he minds his P's and Q's because he's the one that I suspect is going to be on the bubble.
Oh, Patty, if they traded for Rosen, Lauletta might be out the door the same day.
Yeah.
So you think if they say tomorrow they trade for Rosen, you think Eli stays another year and Rosen backs him up or takes over the middle of the year or something like that? No, do you think there's any chance they release Eli if they trade for Rosen tomorrow and get that?
I don't think so because Rosen, you know, with all due respect, very talented young man, but he's still a little wet behind the ears. He had a rough going in Arizona. Okay, you get everything fixed, you let him get acclimated, then you put him in. I would not, you know, if they acquired Rosen tomorrow, I would still say, at the very least, Eli, you take the reins and show this kid how it's done. And Eli, being the professional that he is, I think he would do it.
Yeah, absolutely would do it. You know, Eli, absolutely he would do it. There's no question about it. So, listen, if they don't trade for Rosen, I think they are going quarterback, Pat. I don't know. I tell you what, it's so tough, Pat, because you don't know how they feel about these kids.
Well,
you know?
here's what I'm thinking, Chris.
Go ahead.
We know Shermer has said in the past that he likes to develop quarterbacks. So it would not surprise me if they get a quarterback at some point. They have the capital to do it. Now, with that said, will it be a first-round pick? I would be absolutely floored if they go quarterback at 6. I think if they are going to go quarterback in the first round, it'll be at 17 if they do so. But I still say, you know, right now, given how the picks have restacked, I think now they maybe go offensive tackle and they go pass rusher with those first two picks. Now, if I'm the Giants, here's the other thing. If need be, next year, the Giants are projected to get, I think, a third-round pick and an extra fifth-round pick, that for Landon Collins and that for Chabon Brown. And we still haven't seen what other draft picks or what other Giant unrestricted free agents sign elsewhere, you know, if Kerry Wynn signs someplace else or, you know, whoever. So there still might be more compensatory picks in the horizon. So now, if you're Gettleman and you know that you're going to have at least another third rounder, which you should get from Collins, you're going to have a potential fifth rounder, okay? And then who knows? Maybe next year you end up, you know, making another trade. You decide that, you know, let's say for argument's sake, and I don't think this is going to happen, but, you know, let's say they keep Red Ellison this year, and next year they decide they want to trade him. Okay, now maybe they get, you know, more draft picks. So now, if you're Gettleman, you look to build up that stock, and if there is a quarterback, and next year's class is going to be a lot deeper, you're going to have more options, and P.S., not a lot of teams are going to need quarterbacks. So if you're saying to yourself, okay, this year, 2019, we're going to kind of struggle a little bit, so maybe our record won't be as good, your chances are you're going to end up in the top 15 of the draft next year anyway, plus you're going to have the capital to move up if you need to move up, and that's when you do it. And here's the other part of the equation. If you fill a lot of your holes this year with the capital you have, now you are in a better position to where not only can you trade away capital in 2020, but if you have to dip into your 2021 capital, you know, similar to what, you know, Ernie Accorsi had to do, he had to pull up capital from two draft classes. Now you're in a better position to do it. So it all ties in together. And, you know, I think it could make sense because, you know, I've said right from the get-go that I believe the next quarterback is in the 2020 draft, but that it's early. You never know that, you know, the Giants might, you know, they were out at Kyler Murray's pro day today. Maybe they fell in love with him. Who knows? You know, maybe they're in love with Dwayne Haskins and they're doing a better job of, you know, hiding it. Unlike last year when everybody knew they were going to take Saquon. So, you just don't know.
You don't know. What did you make of Arizona skipping? The only team that skipped Kyler Murray's workout.
Well, I mean,
does that tell you basically they're going to take him?
I don't know if that tells me any. I mean, the only thing that tells me is that their head coach Kingsbury.
Yeah.
He's familiar with him, so maybe.
But he loves him. Yeah, he loves.
Yeah,
him.
And I thought they did attend, but maybe they sent scouts or something. I thought saw that all 32 teams were in attendance, but it could be a smoke.
Oh, sorry, it was Kingsbury and the GM Keim didn't go.
Yeah,
okay. But obviously they sent somebody representative.
They sent somebody. Right. So, you know, different teams send different people. It depends, but you know, here's the other thing, Chris, and I tweeted this not for nothing. There's an offensive tackle at that workout, too, Cody Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they probably went to look at Kyler Murray, but I'd bet you any amount of money that Ford was the guy that they were most interested in looking at.
Yeah, very possible. You know, you kill two birds with one stone. You check out the kid Murray, and then you're also checking out a tackle that the Giants need.
Yep.
So – how about this, Patty? You think any chance they package that one they just got now and try to move up by packaging a one in their four or something like that, a one in their three they just got to move up in the draft so they have the sixth and the eighth or sixth and the fourth, something like that?
I would be surprised if they move up, Chris.
Then you could land a quarterback if they're in love with Haskins and an edge guy.
You could, but, you know, I would be very, very surprised if they do it. I don't think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think that they will get a good edge player if they stay put at six. And even if they don't, you know, edge players, you know, here's the beauty of it. You can kind of see how the first few picks fall. And then now because you have another pick coming up in the first round, if you see there's a run, you can then adjust if you need to, although I think they stay with best player. They got to somehow marry the best player with the need. I mean, they can't just say, oh, you know, the best player in this draft is a running back, so we're going to take a running back. I mean, that's a waste of resources. I'm sorry. But, I don't think they're going to move up. I just don't get that impression that they are that enthralled with the class. Now, again, it could be an act. Maybe I'm misreading the tea leaves, but I think Gettleman, when he spoke to us in the private media session, he mentioned the offensive tackles. And I tell you, Chris, I was sitting right next to Gettleman, so I had a very clear shot of this. I swear I saw the slightest bit of drool slip out of his lips when he was talking about his hog mollies. When he was talking about the defenders, again, you could see him perk up.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm I could be misreading the tea leaves. Maybe Gettleman took acting lessons, you know, over the offseason or whatever. But I think they're going to go in some order, offensive tackle and edge rusher in the first round.
Hmm. With the edge rusher sixth?
I'm sticking
with my prediction.
I think they might let that wait because, you know, the edge rusher class is so deep.
Yeah,
the
but
the offensive tackle class, not so much. Now, I know people are going to say, well, why would you spend the sixth round pick on a right tackle? You get a kid who, you know, here's how I see it. You get a kid who can potentially play both positions because Nate Solder is getting up there in age. And ultimately, you might say to yourself, okay, you know what? We got this kid who can play right tackle for us now, but maybe down the line you think, oh, maybe we'll slide him over to left tackle when we have to move on from Nate Solder. And then it becomes, you know, maybe a little easier to get a right tackle than it does a left tackle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because nobody is projected. None of these tackles, the kid from Florida, the Oklahoma kid, the other, nobody's projected to be a top eight type of tackle. So it'll be interesting if Gettleman does rate them that high, you know. I'm still going to stick with the edge guy, Pat, defense. And then with the 17th pick, if they don't trade or whatever, I'm going to go offensive after that, you know, Pat. So, and then the second round, defense again, you know, you know, that's. You know, you could shore up, you could get two good defensive players now and an offensive player tackle with the 17th, you know, with the addition of this extra pick, you know. So, hey, listen, Pat, it's going to be interesting. We're not in a room. I don't know what, for all we know right now, you know, they could be totally in love with Kyler Murray, right? Or they fell in love with Haskins the last 2 weeks. So we'll find out soon.
We'll find out because Dave Gettleman, God bless his soul, he's a little too honest for his good. And if you notice, Chris, we go back to, you know, when Gettleman would not come out and say, look, I'm definitely not trading Odell. And, you know, the way he worded it, the semantics were there to leave you to think that they were still, you know, considering it if the right circumstances develop. Chris, let's take a final break. We'll come back and we'll continue talking about these last 48 hours, which have just been an absolute blockbuster. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked on Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and Chris Biziano. Chris Biziano writes for the Giant Insider. Really good guy. Make sure you are following them at Giant Insider on Twitter. And they also have a podcast, which you know, is definitely worth a listen. So Chris will tell you about that at the end of the show. And Chris, you know, we've been talking about the quarterbacks and all that. Let's briefly, only because it was part of the trade, you know, they traded OV. We kind of knew that OV didn't have a long-term future here, but let's talk about the guys that the Giants got back. And what are your thoughts on the new Giants that they got in the trade?
Well, Pat, first off, to get a Kevin Zeitler for a guy they were probably going to release was an unbelievable job by Dave Gettleman. Unbelievable, okay? Because let's face it, Pat. If there was no takers for Olivier Vernon, they were going to release him. There's not doubt on my mind. He was not coming back to the Giants this season. So not only do they move on from Olivier in a trade, they get one of the better right guards in the league for him. Just an unbelievable trade by Dave Gettleman. Patty, 2 years ago, when Zeitler became a free agent, okay, I was going crazy with Jerry, the editor of the paper. The Giants got to – Reese has got to get in touch with this guy. He's got to bring him in. This Zeitler – and I'm so happy. And maybe it took 2 years, you know, Pat, but I'm so happy that they brought this guy over. He's a nasty guard. He's very, very good in pass protection. Not as good run blocking, but still solid enough. Giant fans are going to really be happy with this, Pat, because right now, 4/5 of the line is basically locked in. You're going to have a little competition there with Pulley and Jalapeno at center. No question about it. But you got Big Will and Nasty God on the left side. You got Nate, left tackle. You're going to have that little competition between Jalapeno and Spencer Pulley, who they brought back. And now you have a solid, solid right guard. So, Pat, from a guy that they were going to release, and he gets Kevin Zeitler back for him, for Olivier, just an unbelievable job by Gettleman.
Yeah, and he doesn't get credit for that, because you're right. To get something back, considering that contract, they tried to move that contract last year and had no takers, that they were able to move that contract, you know, God bless them, because I didn't think they were going to be able to do it. I thought for certain that they were going to have to cut Olivier, and that would be the end of it, and that would have been a real disaster, my point. So, you know, yes, it doesn't look like a sexy exchange, but it's huge. They now have a better interior, which was a problem at times last year. Once they get a right tackle, now they get a rookie. He lines up next to Zeitler. You know, you look at the effect that Nate Solder had on Will Hernandez. So I would expect the same thing probably to happen if they put a rookie in there at right tackle. If they get a veteran, even better. So that offensive line rebuild is just about done. And I like the direction that it's headed in. Now, the Giants also picked up the safety, Jabril Peppers. Now, I know this is a guy that Gettleman was said to have liked a couple of years ago when he first came out in the draft. Obviously, the Giants decided to move on from Landon Collins. Landon signed with Washington. No surprise there. You know, the Sean Taylor connection. I mean, everybody kind of knew that's where Landon was going to look to go. And Landon got, I think, was a deal that averages, what, $14 million a year, which is quite the haul for him. Good for him for getting that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the Giants have Jabril Peppers, and they also sign Antoine Bethea, who used to be with the Cardinals, with Betcher. Now, yeah. Chris, I gotta make this point here, because I'm probably the only one who feels this way, but I got to get this off my chest, and I want to hear what you think before we discuss these players. Do you find it a little unsettling that thus far, most of the free agents that the Giants have brought in since, you know, Gettleman and the new coaching staff have come, have been either former Panthers or former Vikings or former Cardinals? It's like, hi, there are other teams in the NFL. I get it that you've worked with these guys before, but how about looking at some of these other guys? You know, it's that bothers me. If there's one
don't
thing about
let
this
it bother you, Patty.
It does a little bit, Chris, because it's like, you know, case in point, you know, they bring in Jonathan Stewart. And they, you know, I get what they were
bad
trying
move.
To do.
I understand. Yeah.
But they paid him an arm and a leg, for God's sakes. And why? They could have paid him a lot less. They could have gotten another veteran running back, I'm sure, to mentor Saquon Barkley. Not that I don't think he needed it. You know, I just don't understand what the fascination is with dipping back into your past and going with players. I mean, when there's like 27 other teams out there.
Well, they're familiar with them, Pat. That's why. I don't know. Listen, he's made some bad moves in free agency. We talked about it in the past. You know, Jonathan Stewart was not a good move. Okay, he brought him in. You know, he was a good locker room guy and all that, but it didn't work out. It really wasn't a good move at all. Now, especially for the money he got, right? Bethea is a guy I bet you knows. Thinks he fits in well. He played pretty good ball for Arizona last year. I know he's going to be 35, I think, in July. But played pretty good ball last year. So now Kareem Martin was a guy I destroyed basically the whole year, as you know. Mm-hmm. He's that system type nonsense. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I get your frustration, Pat. Listen. They traded for Ogletree. You know, there's no familiarity. You know, they went out and got Zyla. I get what you're saying, you know. But listen, he brought Peppers over in this trade. There's no connection there. But, you know, Patty, sometimes you have a GM that just came from another team. He's going to look at some of his old plays. That is going to happen. Whether you agree with it or not, that's another story. Don't get that upset over me.
No, I'm not upset. I just found that kind of funny, you know. And I was talking to somebody about that. And I said, you know, is it me or do they keep going back into the
Patty,
past?
Look what Matt Patricia's doing over in Detroit. He supported a bunch of Patriots.
Yeah, I get it. I understand coaches do that, but to me, it's like, you know, branch out a little bit. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you go from restaurant to restaurant, and you order the same thing, and it's like, hey, you're ordering chicken parmesan or fried chicken at a comfort food place, and then you're going to, you know, an Italian place, and you're ordering another version of fried chicken. It's like, try something new, man.
Patty, come on, you're not being fair to Gettleman here. Come on, there's some guys he brought in. There was some mistakes, but listen, his big signing last year was Nate Solder. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a Patriot. There's no connection there and all. Yeah, I understand.
I know.
I understand what you're saying, Patty. I trust me, I understand. But listen, you know that's going to happen when you bring a new regime if he just came from another team. Like I just said, Patricia's a prime example. I think he's brought in three Patriots. Mm-hmm. Already this year. So what happens, Pat? Whether or not it works out, that's another story. We saw that, right, with Stewart. Listen, some of his signing, you know, the big signing was other guys. He brought in a couple guys this year, other guys. And Patheo is a Betcha guy. But I could tell you this, Pat. I think you're going to like Patheo way more, Patty, than you're going to like Kareem Martin.
Okay.
Kareem Martin, to me, is a average player at best. I think Patheo is a veteran out there. He's still got a little ball left. I think you'll like him. I think everybody will be all okay with him. And now you got Jabril roaming around out there, too. You know, so, and I think, I really believe, Patty, one of these 100 picks they have in this draft, they're going to draft a safety, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, they need help across the board on that defense, so it doesn't shock me. And, you know, I get what you're saying, Chris, and I understand.
It happens, Patty. It happens.
You know, it's like, you go from one place to another, one company to another, and it's like, oh, yeah, I want to bring you along because I'm familiar with your work. I get it. I do.
Yeah. But you know what, Pat? If you want to do that, fine, because you know what type of locker room guy. But I just don't want to hear that system crap. My God. That annoys the hell out of me. But they feel Patheo can help him, Patty. He played really well for Arizona last year. He did. You know, and they feel he could help him. Listen, Patty, some of the things he did last year, Gettleman, was what? For the locker room culture.
Yes.
No question about it. That's gone now, Pat. Gone. Now everything has to be upgrade of talent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no more of that locker room culture stuff now. You could go back to, well, you know what, Stu, we thought he had a little left of the tank, but we brought him in here for Saquon and the locker room. That stuff is gone.
Yep.
Now.
Agree.
You know? So Pat, I understand where you're coming from, but don't be that upset about it.
I'm not.
You can order a shrimp cocktail next time. You know, you could stay away from the Parmesan and and change it up.
I'm good, Chris. Really, I'm good. Right. I
don't like when you're upset. You know, I don't like when you're upset, Patty.
I'm not upset. How can I be upset? I'm talking with you, man. We're having a good time here.
Oh, too much.
Goodness. All right. Well, Chris, before we wrap it up, any other thoughts on this? You know, what's been a very interesting, I guess you could say, not just 48 hours, but going back to last week with, you know, the Collins decision, you know, anything else that happened, or what are you anticipating what might happen in the coming days?
I'm sure they're going to bring another free agent in here, Pat. I expect that. And Patty, it wouldn't shock me if you see a Rosen trade. You know, it wouldn't shock me.
I agree.
You know? So that is not off the table. If, you know, obviously Arizona looks like they're going to go with this Murray kid, right? I mean, that seems to be what's coming out of their camp. Mm-hmm. They could deny it all they want. They could say, oh, we really like Rose and all, but it seems like they're going to go with this Murray kid, you know? And I tell you what, he was impressive in his pro day today. I was watching it, you know. The kid's got talent, Pat. No question about it. Would it shock me if there was a Rosen trade? No. So I can't say that's a surprise if that happens. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just wouldn't surprise. I'm sure they're going to bring another free agent here, Pat, you know. They got some, what, 26 million, Pat? What do they have to play with right now? 25 million cap room?
I think last number I saw was 28, but we didn't
28?
Have
28, okay.
Yeah, but we didn't have all the numbers in from the signings that they did make, so that's probably lower than that.
Patty, I am very interested to see what they do with Eli. I'm sure he's going to get his bonus Sunday, and they will bring him back for another year, and then we see what happens as far as whether or not they draft a kid, you know? So we'll see, Patty.
Yes, we will, Chris. So
listen, Patty, after yesterday, would anything surprise you anymore?
No, it certainly wouldn't. I put this on Twitter, and I will say it again here, because, you know, I'm big enough to admit when I was, you know, when I'm inaccurate. And to those that said that, you know, there was something cooking, that there was going to be a trade, and for all the times I said, nah, it's not going to happen, and it's too soon to happen, they were right. You know, listen, you know, nobody in this business bats 1,000, but.
Nope. And you know what? Credit to Jay Glazer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said it.
It
happened. You know, another guy that we work with, Patty, that was destroyed for 2 years, in Pat Leonard. He's been saying it, that something's going on, and people murdered him, right, Pat? Murdered him.
Yep. Josina Anderson was also.
Josina Anderson and other people, another person people like to murder. But you know what? They were on to something, Patty, and it did happen. So.
Yes, they were. And, you know, listen, like I said, not everybody's going to be 100% right, but the, you know.
Yep.
Lesson to be learned, I guess, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. So, Patty, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Eli for Sunday. I'm sure he's going to get his bonus, and I'm sure he's going to be back. But after yesterday, if they told Eli, although, you know, this is a tough thing with Eli, because you just don't want to say, okay, Eli, we're going to move on from you, right? Because he's such – they don't want to go out like that with Eli, right?
No, they're not going to do that.
I'm sure he's going to get his thing Sunday.
I don't see the Maras and Tishes, you know, unceremoniously dumping him like that.
Right.
I think they're going to want to make the transition as dignified as possible.
Maybe a little, you know what, Patty? Maybe a little restructure here. You know, maybe a little restructure coming up with Eli's contract.
Well, if they restructure him, Chris, they have to extend him, because you can't restructure. I mean, unless you're doing a pay cut. You can't restructure.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Pat. Yeah. That's what I mean. No, I think maybe Eli, what quarterback just, like Matt Ryan just did today.
Mm-hmm.
He cut some of his salary. I think he freed up $7 million on the cap for Atlanta.
Yeah, but so I think they converted that to a signing bonus. So.
Okay, so whatever they do, I can see something maybe like that happen with Eli. I don't know. We'll see, Pat. That wouldn't surprise me either, you know, so.
All right. Well,
good stuff, though, Patty. Interesting stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. Stuff, all right. So we'll have to talk again soon, my friend. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Tell everybody where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, listen, the Giant Insider podcast every Monday and Thursday. You can find me and Jerry Foley, the senior editor, at Giant Insider on Twitter. And you can subscribe to the paper. Just go to giantinsider.com. And you could subscribe to our newspaper. And Patty, thanks again. It's been fun. It seems like a while we did this, right?
Always. I know. I miss you. And I'll have you on again. And I got to get Jerry on too. I don't want Jerry to feel like he's being left out. So.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Right. I will see you probably, unless something dramatic happens, I will probably see you at Gettleman pre-draft presser.
Definitely. All right, folks. On that note, this is Patricia Trainis for Chris Bisiano on the Giant Insider. We're signing off. Make sure you tune in to Locked On Giants the rest of the week. We'll have more on the free agent activity, more guests, more analysis, and who knows what surprises are still in store. So we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.